Well, won't you turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. And if you have our Bible app, Key Point Church app, you can follow my message notes on the app, our keypointchurch.app. And here's what I've added for today. It's really important to me. I want you to get this message. So we've included in our app the actual message notes that I'm preaching from this morning. It's the Word document, and you can download it and print it out or read it, and it will help you understand this message more, because I believe this is a very powerful message as we're going into our Easter season and celebrate what Jesus did for us. And what I want to teach you today for a brief moment is how to see heaven in the lives of others who aren't necessarily seeking heaven themselves. Come on, raise your hand if you have someone in your life that you know right now that the fruits of their life are not indicative of the fruits of a Christ follower. Come on, raise your hand. Let me say it this way. They're not living for God, all right? They're running after the world, and they're doing a pretty good job at it. Come on, raise your hand, all right? Now, if you're a Christian, then you have already repented and turned from that, and God's doing great things in your life. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning for a brief moment. And the title of today's message is Speaking Heaven in the Life of Others. Speaking Heaven. We are going to speak heaven, not only in our lives, which is what we've been teaching over the last several weeks, but we're going to take it to the next level and begin to speak heaven in the lives of others. Now, after Jesus changed my life when I was 19 years old, and boy, did he change me. I couldn't believe how powerful Christianity was, and the experience that I was having in my life was really, really amazing, and I didn't want it any other way. In fact, I wanted everybody else to experience what I was experiencing. And I thought to myself, truly, people would want to experience this, and I wanted people to experience Jesus that way, and I found out that it doesn't necessarily happen like that. People weren't that excited about what was going on in my life, even though I was really excited. But the fact of the matter is, God loves people. Come on, everybody say people. God, I need a better job, right? Say people. All right? That's why we named our church Key Point Church. Jesus is the, and people are the point. Jesus loves people. God loves people. And I wanted to let everybody know what I was experiencing. And I wanted people to change like I was changing, but I found that people necessarily didn't want to change like that. And the church I grew up in was Bethany World Prayer Center. And my pastor would teach the power of a believer. And he would teach on your authority and how you can call heaven on this earth. And I began to learn that as a Christ follower, one of my biggest responsibilities was to make sure I spoke heaven into the lives of other people. And I began to realize it was, if not my number two, but my number one responsibility as a Christian was to do that. Now, I didn't know how to do that, so I started asking questions. I started leaning in. God, how can I do this? Because I've got unsaved family members. I've got a brother that's not saved. I've got some friends that aren't saved, and I want them to experience heaven. I want them to know Jesus. I don't want them to die and perish separated from God. And I started feeling this burden for people, a burden that would essentially take my mind off of all my problems and take my time and effort and put it on other people. And I began to realize, wow, I'm being more like Jesus than I could ever imagine. So I started praying for people, and I started believing that God was going to use me in the life of others. And I wanted to learn how. And as I stated a moment ago, the reason why was because I had some close friends and my brother was not saved. My sister led me to the Lord, and my brother was not serving God. In fact, he was running after the things of this world, and he was really good at it, all right? He was really good at sin and the things of this world, and I didn't like that. And my pastor, Pastor Larry, who I got to be with last week, amazing leader, my pastor was teaching one day interceding for people. And I kept hearing that word, and it was kind of new to me because it's a churchy word, right? Like intercede. What is that? So a new seed you go get at the farmer's co-op? You know, like, do you have any intercedes? You plant them and you'll get double crops. You know, I didn't know what it was, but I began to lean in because I wanted to learn how to intercede for my brother. I wanted to learn what that meant. And I thought it was for a choice few. Like all the good, great Christians who sat on the front row every Sunday morning. And amen, the pastor, without him saying, come on, everybody, say amen. You know? And that's how I thought. But I began to realize it wasn't for a choice few, but it was for all. One day, Pastor Larry was teaching on prayer and intercession and speaking heaven into the lives of others. And he invited the entire church to an all-night intercessory prayer meeting. I'm like, now, that's weird because I remember back in the day, I wasn't praying all night. I was partying all night, all right? What is it? All-night intercessory prayer. And once again, I was bothered with that because I knew my attention span was at tops 5 minutes. I mean, if I really focused on God, I could stretch it out a prayer to like 6 minutes, and I was done. Tap out, Waffle House, come on, somebody, you know? How am I going to make it all night long? I mean, this is going to be a holy nap. And up to that point, my prayers, and even to today, my prayers are kind of bottom line prayers. All right, God save him. God help me. All right, God help the church. You know, just kind of big headlines in my prayers, and I think God's okay with that. But let me give you a simple definition of the word intercede because I believe we all have to do it. The word intercede, it simply means to speak to God on behalf of someone. That's it. That's what intercede means. When you speak heaven in the life of someone else who is not speaking heaven over their own life, what you're doing is you're going to God, you're appealing to God, you're saying, God, I have a friend. And she is not serving God, and I come to you on behalf of her, or I come to you on behalf of my son, or my grandchild, or my mother, or my dad. And Lord, they need you in a big way. So I go to God on behalf of them. I intercede for them. You know that's what Jesus did for you. In fact, it's what we're celebrating this coming week. It's Easter. Jesus interceded for you and I. And Jesus intercedes for me. This is what Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Here it is. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is, check this out, also interceding for us. So Jesus came to this earth. The truest manifestation of heaven is Jesus himself. He comes to this earth. He suffers the cross. He was crucified. They laid him in a tomb. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. He ascends back into heaven. And now the Bible tells us that he sits at the right hand of his Father and he intercedes for you and me. In other words, Jesus, he took this gap that he knew we had between a holy God and a sinful people, and he built this bridge with his life so that you and I could go to God through him. He goes to God and he says, God, I gave my life for her. I gave my life for him. So he appeals to God on my behalf. Therefore, I can live my life saved today. I can live my life victorious today. There's no longer this cavern that separates me from God. I can access God's presence because of what Jesus did for me. He interceded. He went to God on my behalf. Come on, somebody. That should make you shout in here. I have a holy arbitrator who is the Son of God, the creator of this universe, speaking on my behalf to God for me. Woo! Come on, somebody. Woo, that was pretty loud right there. Man, that excites me. I have an advocate. His name is Jesus, and he loves me regardless of what I do. He intercedes for me. He intercedes for me. Hebrews 7, verse 25 says it this way, therefore, he is able. Everybody say able. Don't you ever forget that. Your God, he's able to do anything, all right? He is able He is able to save completely those, here it is, those who come to God through him. Remember, he built this bridge to God because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives. Jesus, he always lives. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding, always interceding, always interceding for you and me, always interceding. What does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus is at an all-night prayer meeting all the time? No. Once again, he's seated in his place on the right side of the Heavenly Father, and every time he goes to the Heavenly Father, he goes to God on my behalf. Hey, God, he's spoken for. God, I got PC covered. He's mine. He is my child. Therefore, here's what he needs. Here's what he needs. He intercedes for me. And because God loves people and wants everyone to know him, he calls us, please hear me, he calls you and I as believers to intercede for the lost. That's what he does. His plan for reaching people has not changed. And his plan has always been to use people. That means you. That means you. You have an opportunity to reach people for God. You have an opportunity to appeal to God for someone else. And he's waiting. You want to find some true joy whenever you take someone else's hand that is hopeless and headed to a crisis eternity, and you connect them to a God that sits in heaven that wants to deliver them from all their fears and pains and destruction? That is a whole new level when it comes to Christianity. And we as believers have that responsibility. It's not an option. It's not an elective that I should take if I want to. I intercede for others. Write that down. I intercede. I get to go to God on behalf for someone else. I intercede for others. Lord, give us a compassion that you have. Give us a burden like you have. Here's my prayer for you. Lord, let my heart break for what breaks yours. And when you begin to have a heart that's broken for what breaks God's heart, then you'll begin to realize that God has called you to intercede for others. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you then, not maybe when you get around to it, urge you then. Here the importance of this. First of all, that petitions and prayers, and here it is, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for all people. You know, statistically, they say that Christmas and Easter are the two largest, and we know, the two largest services of the year for churches. And the studies also show that people will go to church if they're invited. Like almost 9 out of 10 people will go to church if you understand the power that you have as a Christ follower and the responsibility. And here we are, 7 days removed from Easter. And you have the opportunity to invite someone. All you have to do is ask. It's already done. All you have to do is invite them. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do here. We're going to make sure they feel like they belong, okay? We're going to make sure they feel welcome. When they show up Friday night with you, if you come to the Good Friday service, if you come to the 8:30 service, and I would encourage you, if you hear my voice, come to the Good Friday service or the 8:30 service, because this service is going to be packed, all right? But I get the opportunity to intercede. There's no better time right now in the year than to do this. And here's how you intercede for people. It's really simple. Let's say you have a brother, like I did, that wasn't serving God. Here's what you do. All right, now I'm gonna role play a prayer, okay? This is how I would pray for my brother. This is how I pray for my brother. First off, I'm going to get confidence in my heart when I approach God, all right? All right, God, Lord, listen. And that's how I talk to God, all right? Just like I'm talking to you, all right? All right, God, you know Kyle. Yeah, I know. He's headed to a crisis eternity. He's enjoying his sinful life right now. Lord, I'm praying with confidence because I know your word says in 1 John 5:14 that I can have confidence when I approach your throne. I can approach you that if I ask anything according to your will, not my wants, but your will, and remember, will means desire, anything according to your desire, then you will hear me. And Lord, your desire in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, says, you want none to perish. That God doesn't want anyone to perish. That word perish, God, let me remind you, that word perish means to die and live separated from you and in eternity from you. And Lord, I don't want my brother Kyle. I don't want him to live his life on the other side of this world, of his last breath. I don't want him to live separated from you. And God, he's not living the lifestyle right now. He's running after small gods. And I know if he died today, I don't know if he'd make it into heaven. So Lord, I am coming to you on behalf of my brother. So I get a hold of God and what God wants in people's lives and his desire for people. I get a hold of it, I get confident, and then I grab him and I bring him to God. All right, God, here he is. Here's the dirt bag, all right? If you save this dirt bag, you can save that dirt bag, God. Lord, tonight, I know he's going out, he's gonna go and get all the things the world provides for fun. I pray you make him miserable tonight, God. I pray that you give him ears to hear what he needs to hear. Let him see the truth, God. Send someone across Kyle's pathway today, Lord, that will speak the truth inside of him. And when he hears that truth, it will be planted into his heart. Lord, soften his heart up, because his heart is hard, God. His heart does not want you. His will is running against you, God. Let his will get soft so he can repent and turn towards you, God. And then I say a few selfish things. Lord, scare the head out of him, Lord. Let him have a terrible time. Let him get sick and throw up tonight because he drank too much. One time he got a DWI, almost killed himself. My dad called me and said, hey, you need to get to the hospital. Kyle did it this time. Flipped the truck over. Thank God he was by himself. Truck was on top of him. They pulled him out, rescued him out. And when I got to the hospital, he was handcuffed to the bed. My dad was talking to the state trooper outside, and he said, listen, I give you permission. You go in there and you scare the hell out of him, all right? How many years can he get in prison? He told him, he's like, go in there and tell him right now. He's going to jail for like 28 years. Scare him. He went in there, and man, my brother's eyes got that big. And I'm like, come on, God, use this. Let him see that he escaped death again. Let him see that your hand was on him and saved him so that he can have an opportunity to give his heart to Christ. Lord, I pray that you show him kindness, because you know Romans 2:4, God says that it's his kindness, it's meant to lead me to repentance. That's why you repented. It was because of God's kindness. Lord, I pray you shower him and kill him with kindness today. And Lord, I thank you that on your timing, God, let your will be done in Kyle's life. And I agree with what your word says. And I thank you, Lord, I have the power to speak heaven into the lives of others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And here's the power of that. The more and more you do that, and the more and more you speak like that, and speak heaven and intercede, the more and more you bring heaven into this earth, into that space, over your life, over someone else's life. The more and more you intercede, the more and more you will see that happen. And I prayed for Kyle for close to 6 years. 6 years. God, is today the day that it's going to happen? And he had to go to church. It wasn't an option at our house. And he'd show up sometimes all hungover and drunk, and man, was just kicked in the teeth by the devil. Thought he was having fun. Just miserable, just walking down an addictive pathway and just putting more pain in his life. And that just caused me to have more kindness over him and see how this world is real. See, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. That's why people can live ungodly and not even honor God, because they've been blinded. Why do I need God? I got all this. I got all this money. I don't need God. He's blinded their eyes. It was the fall of 1995, 6 years after I started praying for Kyle. It was a Sunday morning. He was at church because he had to. Lord knows he didn't want to be there. But I could tell God was doing something in his heart. Pastor Larry asked us to bow our heads. And I'm not going to lie, I was looking out the right side because I knew Kyle was over here. I'm kind of looking. I knew something was about to happen. I could sense it. And sure enough, Pastor Larry gives an altar call, which we do every service. So we'll never have a service at Key Point Church where we don't give someone an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And I looked over there, and sure enough, Kyle raised his hand. I wanted to run and shout, but I knew I would probably get kicked out because it was a very quiet moment, holy moment. He raised his hand. He did everything the pastor Larry said to do. And from that moment on, you can see how God began to do great things in his life. Was he perfect? No. He found a godly lady, got married, started having children. Now he has three amazing children. Two are teenagers, one's in elementary, who love God, who love him, love his mom. They go to church. He serves in his local church. He's a tither. He gives. I mean, you just can't believe where he came from. And it was all because there was a group of people who believed in the authority that Jesus gave them and began to speak heaven in the lives of others. There is power in you speaking heaven in the life of someone else. James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer, the earnest petition, the earnest intercession, the earnest prayer of a righteous person. And oh, by the way, you're not righteous because of what you do. On your best day, your righteousness falls way, way short, all right? It's in his power that we stand. Amen? The earnest prayer of someone who's been gifted righteousness, given righteousness because of Jesus. Here's the results. We have great power. I have great power and produce wonderful results. In other words, the words that leave my mouth have great power, not because of me, but because of Jesus, and they have wonderful results. They have wonderful results. Our prayers, when we pray them and they leave our mouth and our heart, sometimes even our mind, they don't just float around and ping around like Pong out there in the spiritual atmosphere. No, they go directly to God, and he hears you and me. He hears you and me, especially if we're moved with compassion and have a burden and we're praying according to his will. Oh, it moves the heart of God. It moves, most certainly moves the heart of God. So if you're not seeing results, keep praying. Don't stop believing. Keep praying heaven into the life of that person. Keep praying heaven in the life of that person. Now, I want you, we're going to take about 30 seconds to a minute, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to refer to the person that you're thinking about right now that needs heaven in their life, that needs salvation. I'm going to refer to them as them or her or him, okay? So bow your heads with me, and I'm going to lead you in some intercessory prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for her. I want you to think about that person. Right there in your mind, just state that person's name. I thank you for him. Lord, I thank you that I have confidence because I can approach your throne, and I know that, God, you hear me because I'm praying your will, your desires for all people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I bring her, I bring him to you. I come to you and appeal to you on behalf of this person. And I thank you, Lord, today you're going to send people across her path or his path to intersect with him and speak kindness and speak your love and speak the reality of heaven and hell and show them that their life can be different, that you have a purpose for them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you give them the right heart, Lord. Let the seeds that I speak and other people speak be planted in their heart and let it grow a harvest because my words are powerful and my words, when I speak them, produce results. And Lord, I have the ability as a Christian to call those things that are not as though they are. And I say that this person is saved. I say they're set free. I say they're delivered in Jesus' name and they're walking towards the goodness and greatness of God. And Lord, I thank you that you're faithful. You're faithful. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You just had an intercessory prayer meeting right there. There you go. And it wasn't all night. We got right to the bottom line and we said, God, here's the deal, and you got it done. Can we, as a Christ follower, walk in the authority that he has given us through his life? We can have heaven in our life, and we can, as Christ followers, speak heaven into the lives of others. In fact, it is our responsibility. And once again, think of the opportunity that you have over the next several days. Invite. Pick them up. Say, hey, I'll be at your house at 6. We're going to Good Friday service. Then I'm going to take you to IHOP. I'm going to take you to get a hamburger from McDonald's. We're going to go big time, all right? And we'll do whatever we can to present a life-giving message about what Jesus did for them. That's my promise. Because I know the value of a soul. I know the value of the soul that you're thinking about right now. And it's very, very important. want you to bow your heads with me as we close. I believe there's a few people in here this morning that would say, Pastor Casey, I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm not quite sure where I am. If I were to breathe my last breath today, I really honestly don't know. And listen, if you don't know, then you can know today. Why would Jesus suffer the cross? So you could wonder. He didn't. He doesn't want us bouncing around life wondering if we're saved. No, we can know that we know that we know. Put your head bowed and your eyes closed. I want us to pray this prayer. It's a very simple salvation prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. And I believe there's at least 10 to 15 people in this room today that is your response. So let's pray out loud. Everybody in this room, pray this with me. Say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to change me. I'm going to say, I don't like the direction of my life, and I need you. I repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me. I call you my Lord. Say, I call you my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me. I'm going to get you to raise your hand. It's really simple. If you prayed that prayer and that was your response, we're going to separate it right here. I want to see your hand. You prayed that prayer, you meant it, you believe God's doing something in you. I want, as the pastor of this church, to be able to see your hand. This is the most important part of this whole service right now. Raise your hand. Say, that was me, Pastor Casey. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you. All the way in the back, my left, your right. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See a couple right here to my right, your left. Come on, don't pass this moment by. See you all the way in the back, young man. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sincerity. God sees your heart. He's going to do great things in your life, man. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that you came to seek and save the lost. And Lord, I thank you today at the 11:30 service. You did exactly that. God, you get all the glory. You get all the praise. And it's Jesus, his wonderful name that we pray.